This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, she liked the ad so much she paid for it. Political groups go online looking for financial help and find a New Jersey housewife, and suddenly she's a player. First, U.S. aircraft bombed the Iraqi city of Fallujah over the weekend. The strikes were targeted at the insurgent leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and his followers. Zarqawi is a Jordanian-born terrorist who leads a group known as Tawhid and Jihad. It's believed responsible for the beheading of a number of Westerners in Iraq and for several bombings there. Dan Murphy covers the Middle East for the Christian Science Monitor. He wrote a profile about Zarqawi for his paper last week. He joins us now. Dan, say, who is Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and how did he become a terrorist?
What he is a real guy is much in dispute. The basic facts are is that he was a young tough who grew up in the sort of industrial city of Zarqa in Jordan. In the late 80s, he went as sort of a jihad tourist to Afghanistan, sort of at the tail end of the fight against the Soviet occupation there, made some contacts, went home to Jordan, is fiercely opposed to the existence of Israel and to the monarchy in his own home country, spent about 7 or 8 years in the 90s in jail there for militant activity, and then when he was released, went back to Afghanistan and appeared to set up a rival training camp to some of the al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan. Now, since the U.S. invasion of Iraq, its country has become a magnet for militant Islamist groups like his. His is not the only one there. And he clearly occupies a fairly important position amongst the groups that are carrying out a lot of the almost daily, it seems now, suicide bombings and other attacks in the country.
You write that he became a fundamentalist Islamist, but he also is poorly educated. He comes from a poor background. How does such a person get to be the leader of a Islamist terrorist group?
It's a fair question. Most of the leaders of, you know, major Islamist terrorist groups tend to be very well educated. Large numbers of them have advanced science and engineering degrees. And there are many people that believe that he has become a useful sort of front man for a more complicated and more diverse group than the U.S. officials sometimes give it credit for being. You know, they found it useful to always have the anonymous statements on the website saying Zarqawi did this, Zarqawi cut the man's head off, Zarqawi issues a statement. But in fact, he probably has a tight circle of ideologues around him who are in many ways savvier and smarter. That said, it's also clear that he picked up some important guerrilla organizational skills in Afghanistan. You know, and probably by force of personality and his own commitment, he's become an important guy. I mean, a lot of these really spectacular videotaped beheadings we see can be seen in the context of him sort of trying to out-extreme groups like al-Qaeda and win more followers for himself.
U.S. agencies have said that it's Zarqawi who is actually carrying out beheadings in at least one of these videos that's been released, that he's personally doing it. But then there are also kind of questions about, is he really on these tapes or is he not? He seems to be a pretty mysterious guy.
Well, you know, the CIA at one time said he lost a leg in Afghanistan, and they later, you know, they no longer believe that to be the case. Colin Powell at the UN last year said that he was a Palestinian, which is completely untrue. So U.S. information about him and many other, you know, alleged terrorist leaders is generally not very reliable. How they would know that he's actually the guy that cut somebody's head off in one of these videos, I don't know. Usually they're wearing hoods. And the claim is made that he's done this stuff directly. You know, I don't have any doubt that he has been involved in some horrible things. It is unlikely that he is either operationally involved or even in a planning basis in all of the major terrorist strikes in Iraq.
He must be the most hunted man in Iraq today. If the U.S. or Iraqi forces were to capture or kill him, what difference would it make?
I mean, is he even in Iraq? I mean, nobody seems to know where he is at the moment. Were they to kill or capture him, it would be a useful propaganda victory for the Americans, to be sure. But there are many people that look at the networks that have been set up there involving clearly thousands and thousands of people that see them as sophisticated enough that they can run completely on their own at this point. You know, I'll point out that I think 3 or 4 different leaders of the jihad in Saudi Arabia have been killed over the past 2 years. And every time they're killed, there's a new guy that pops up that is the new figurehead and claimed to be the new leader. It is unlikely that killing him would operationally do anything to end the rate of terrorist-style acts inside Iraq.
Dan Murphy, Christian Science Monitor, Middle East correspondent, speaking with us from Cairo. Thank you, Dan.